more love for the tough love measures in Europe.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There could be some big political changes this weekend in Europe with big consequences for the global economy. Voters in both France and Greece will go to the polls, and the expectation is that they'll be in a bit of an anti-austerity mood. One clue came yesterday in the UK, where voters delivered big losses to the ruling Conservative Party. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has that story from London.
When it came to power 2 years ago, the current British government put austerity at the top of its agenda. It argued that if the public debt was not reduced, Britain might suffer the same fate as countries in the Eurozone like Greece, Portugal and Ireland. The UK embarked on a comprehensive series of budget cuts. But today there are clear signs of a backlash. The economy has slipped back into recession, and in local elections across the country yesterday, voters punished the government. Simon Tilford of the Centre for European Reform says it's an obvious warning signal.
I strongly think that by the time of the next election, if the government adheres to the current economic strategy, then they will pay a heavy price. I think by the time of the next parliamentary election, people will have become very jaundiced with austerity.
People are certainly jaundiced with austerity in France and Greece. National elections there this weekend are expected to deliver another resounding vote against budget cuts. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The largest 401k administrator in the U.S., Fidelity, said this week that our retirement account balances were up 8% on average in the first quarter of this year, but the major stock market indexes were up even more than that. So are 401ks really the right ticket to a happy retirement? Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now with answers. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So, Chris, I was reading Joe Nocera in the New York Times. He says his 401k is not going to be good enough as he thought it was to retire on. He's going to need to work longer or find something else.
Well, he's right, and that's the story of all of us. I mean, look, the 401k is a fundamentally flawed retirement savings plan. And the problem is, Jeremy, here's the problem. It's you.
Me?
You are the problem. You are, and so am I. And so are most of the people listening to this broadcast. You know, we're just not very good at investing. And it's really striking to think that, you know, there was this Revenue Act of 1978, and there was some clause in there, the 401k, and some benefit consultants realized you could turn this into a retirement savings plan. No one had any idea that this would become the largest retirement savings plan in the private sector.
So we're just making the wrong decisions in terms of what we're investing in?
We don't know if we're making the wrong decisions. Decisions you're making today in 30 years could turn out to be the difference between eating steak or corn chips for dinner. Hmm. Many people don't even participate in their employer's plan. I mean, more and more people are doing it, but still. And yet the thing is, we work really hard for our money. We have families. We have other responsibilities. And it's really too much for the average person.
But it's not the only thing that you even counsel sometimes on our weekend program, Marketplace Money, that people should have for their retirement savings. There's also Social Security. Some people have Roth IRAs in addition to 401ks. So isn't it a good supplement?
It's a good supplement. And that's what it was designed to be, a supplement to the traditional defined benefit pension plan. You know, you'd work at a company, years of service, some sort of formula about final pay, and you couldn't outlive that money. It's a great supplement. But what has happened? Corporate America's moved away from the defined benefit pension plan, and it's embraced the 401k, and there's too much responsibility for you, for me, and for everyone else investing with this kind of plan for our retirement.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks as always.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in overseas trading this morning, down 0.7% right now in London and Frankfurt as we await this morning's April U.S. jobs report from the Labor Department. The official numbers for Facebook's initial public offering are out. The company is expected to be valued around $96 billion, which the Wall Street Journal points out would rival companies like McDonald's and Amazon despite the lack of, you know, revenue or profit at Facebook. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 61 points to close at 13,206.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
The movie The Avengers opens in the U.S. today. It's already brought in more than $250 million around the world. If you're surprised that an American-made Disney flick is coming out in America second, here's Sally Herships with the explanation.
It's a numbers thing. The rest of the world is
the big kahuna when it comes to the amount of money that's flowing in through the box office.
Sharon Waxman is editor of TheWrap.com. She says almost 70% of tickets for American movies are bought overseas. You used to need American premieres to sell them. Not anymore.
In Russia and in China, they are building cineplexes at this incredibly rapid rate. So these are places where there's growth to be had.
So who gets the film first? Depends on culture and calendars. Waxman says Europeans don't like to hit theaters in the summer. No studio wants to compete with another blockbuster, and sometimes it's good to build sales momentum. Battleship doesn't open here for another 2 weeks, but if you want to catch it this weekend, I hear it's playing in Mumbai. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, Kiplinger's is out with a list of the best cities for cheapskates. Places like South Bend, Indiana, that's number 8, where you can go to a Notre Dame game for as little as $5. Or number 4, Kalamazoo, Michigan, which has 21 Dollar General stores within 30 miles. Number 1 on the list, though, is St. Louis, where in addition to the fact that the favorite local dish is the relatively inexpensive toasted ravioli, look it up. Overall living costs are also 9% below the national average. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.